to be with you. Thanks for joining us. I want to say hello to all of our campuses. Thanks for being a part of our services today. Also those watching online and also our prison ministry. Give it up for our prison ministry. Grateful for you guys. Glad you're with us today. I may have been a little too cocky last week about the Texans. Give me a little grace here. Okay, come on now. I just want you to know I'm mad that they lost, and so I'm boycotting them till September 1. That's my plan. That's how mad I am. So anyways, it's okay. It's all right. They played good. They fought for it. But hey, Kansas City, hard to beat them. I mean, I'm not going to lie. They are really good. So it's okay. Okay, so I'm going to jump right into Scripture. I'm excited about today's message because we're in this series called You in 5 Years. Last week, we talked about how there's a process to achievement, to transformation, to what it is you want. We talked about that last week. And if you missed last week, I encourage you to get the app, get the Church Unlimited app and watch that or go on YouTube. But also today, we're continuing that. I want to talk today about how what influences you or who influences you matters to who you become in the 5 years as well. And so excited about today's message. I'm going to dive right in. If you got your Bibles or Bible app, turn to Psalm 1. Would you do that? Turn to Psalm chapter 1. David, when he began to journal, started with this journal entry, this word. It's a powerful word. I want to read it to you now. And so check it out. It says this: how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Wow. That is a promise from God, is it not? Now, it's powerful, but I want to just say this. You know, we get all excited about the fact that God wants to bless us and prosper us. All that's true. But we forget that God loves us unconditionally. God saves us unconditionally, but he does not bless us unconditionally. He blesses us upon the condition that we obey him. So we tend to forget that. And so I just want to remind you of that because, again, oftentimes we sing about the blessings of God. We sing about, but there's not a whole lot of singing about the obedience to God. You know what I'm saying? And so I just want to challenge you that let's look at this closely, because if you want the blessing of verse 3, you got to obey verse 1 and 2 before you get to 3. Does that make sense? So let's unpack that today. I'm excited about today's message. You guys ready to dive in? You guys ready to go? All right, let's go. I'm ready to get after this like the Kansas Chiefs did on my Texans. Okay. It says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the seat of in the path of sinners, sit in the seat of scoffers. Do you notice the progression there? So if you follow this progression, there's a wrong progression of relationships. And here's the progression. The casual acquaintance with someone who is sinful, they're on the path opposite of the direction God wants to go, right? The casual acquaintance, but then the comfortable friendship, they get comfortable with it, and then the character-changing influence. But notice it says how blessed, that actually means blessed. It says it twice, right? It basically, when we look at the original language, it's saying blessed is the man who does not hang out with the wrong person. Isn't that powerful? Like, we forget the simplicity sometimes of God's word, and it's so powerful though, right? And it seems negative if it wasn't for the fact that he started off with the word blessed. God's like saying, I'm about to tell you something that's not easy to hear, but if you'll hear this, receive it and do it, you'll actually live blessed. So he says, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of wicked, doesn't stand in the path of sinners, and he doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers. Notice it doesn't say walk and then sit and then in the seat of sinners. It says scoffers, because you go from, if you listen to the counsel of the wicked, it means you're like, maybe they have a point. Maybe I should try that, right? And then it says they stand in the path of sinners. So first you walk like, hey, what's going on? You meet someone, hey, good to meet you, right? You're heading to the same place, right? Then the next time it says, now you stand in the way, right? You're like, I'm going to meet you. I came here to meet you at this place. Like, we're connecting now, right? Then it says seated, at the seat of not sinners, but scoffers. What's a scoffer? A scoffer is someone who, because of their lifestyle choices, now has to make fun of yours to make theirs look okay. Did you catch that? So they become scoffers. And I've just noticed that most scoffers are people who maybe did at one point walk with the Lord and now have chosen not to. And so they have to scoff at it because they actually do know the truth. Does that make sense? This is why they typically make fun of Christians. Oftentimes they are Christians that are just backslidden, that are making fun of other believers. And so I just want to encourage you that what happens is we're trying to justify our own actions. And so, but please understand that God is trying to tell you something real clear here. Number one, separate yourself from the wrong people or you will regress and regret. You will regress. You'll end up going in the wrong direction. You'll be going back to things you used to do, right? And you'll regret it. So I just want to challenge you. This is a big deal. And again, it sounds so negative, but it's a big deal. I find it interesting that people, when I talk about this, will often say, you're being judgmental. Like, you're being judgmental towards me because you don't want to do certain things that I do. But then if I ask them, like, let me just give you an example. When I was in high school and college, you know, I had friends that slept with their girlfriends, you know, or boyfriends or whatever. And so I remember, you know, I would say, well, so, you know, they would say, well, you're being judgmental, but just because you don't sleep with whoever you're dating doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. I said, well, the Bible begs to differ, but that's fine. I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm saying you're choosing to do something that goes against God's word. Okay, that's all I'm saying, and I'm not going to do that. And in fact, I didn't even say anything to you, but you're coming at me like I did. You ever had that? You're like, I didn't say anything, and now you're telling me I'm being judgmental. You just said, are you going to go to the party? And I said, no, and you asked why, and so I told you why, which is that I don't do that. Oh, well, you just being so judgmental. No, I just told you I'm not going to the party. I didn't judge you. You can do whatever you want, but I'm not going to go. And so, but oftentimes, this is what I've had to do in these discussions with people, because sometimes they're very confrontive, right? Maybe you've had this kind of discussion with someone, a friend or family member, right? And they're like, well, just because I sleep, and I'm like, okay, well, let's just say you go sleep with five different people this weekend. They'd be like, whoa, I would never do that. Whoa, that's so judgmental of you. What would be wrong with that? Well, I'm not that kind of person. I mean, come on, I'm not going to, whoa. So you do have a line that you draw. So you, in other words, like, so the person says, well, I sleep with whoever I want, whenever I want. Okay, great, that's fine. Well, you know, well, would you force yourself on someone? Well, no, I would never do that. You're being so judgmental. So in other words, like, it's a judgment call. Therefore, you're going to be called judgmental. But the Bible is just saying, just this, if you'll draw this line, God's saying, I want to bless you, but this is a very good delineation between who I bless and who I don't bless. So what you're doing is you're taking your relationship with Jesus to the next level. Let me explain this. Let's say you're DMing someone. You slide into their DMs, and you start chatting it up, and you're just, you know, your thumbs are busy. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, hey, what's up? I like that picture. You look cute in that. Oh, really think so? Where are you going? This and that. Oh, who you hang out with? Whatever. You start talking. You know, are you a Christian? Oh, I go to this church. Oh, I go to that church. Oh, no way, you are. Oh, well, what's your favorite Bible verse? All of a sudden, you're talking to this person, right? Now, let's say you go to the next level. Say, hey, let's get together. You go to lunch. Maybe you go to dinner. You get dressed up. Now, you're like, okay, hey, where are we going with this? And then the whole discussion of us happens. And then what happens? You're like, so are we, like, going to be exclusive? And then what happens with that? Then all of a sudden, you're like, hey, I did notice that your best friend was someone you used to date. I'm not real cool with that. And so at that point, if they said, well, I mean, give me a break. I mean, we're just friends. I'd be like, yeah, but used to be a lot more than friends. I'm not, well, I don't think that's in your business. I mean, we're just friends. I told you we're just friends. How many of you guys would be like, I'm walking, right? So what you're saying is a sign of cutting someone off is not a sign that you're being mean to them. It's a sign that you love this person more. So really what God's saying is this isn't about cutting people off. This is about you taking your relationship with me to the next level. And therefore, if we're going to have it like that, you got to have it like this. Does that make sense? So God's saying, I love you enough to tell you that if you want the blessings that I have for you, I've got to be a bigger influence on you than that person who's leading you in the wrong direction. Simple as that. Now, the word blessed literally means the state of prosperity or happiness that comes when a superior bestows his favor upon someone. So he's like, I'm a superior in your life, and I will bless you if you will do this. Another thing that's pretty clear here is that who you hang out with, you become like. I mean, you just do. I mean, even if you don't want, even if you recognize what they're doing is dumb, you'll end up doing that too. Just because you hang out with them. It's just the way it is. We become like who we hang out with. And so just, I want to warn you of that because it's a big deal. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, bad company corrupts good morals. It's really true. Who you hang out with, you will become just like them. Good or bad, it is just the way it is. And so because of that, this is why I'm such a big fan of serving in the church or get that and also getting involved in a life group. Why? Because you're around people that are going to influence you in the right direction, and that's a good thing. So I just want to encourage you that the reason I say this is because the number one tool you need initially in your faith is the toolbox tool. No one likes to pull this out of their toolbox, but it's a very important word. You got to be able to say the word no. Just say, yeah, I'm not going to go there. Not going to do that because last time I did that, it got me in trouble, got me a big mess. I don't want to do that anymore, right? So you have to be willing to say no to the world. And again, this is not popular, but it's the truth, and it will protect you. Then God says, what do you do next? Number two, meditate on the word. Meditate on the word of God. So Psalms 1 verse 2 says, but his delight, so there's a juxtaposition here. He's like, hey, don't hang out with this person. Instead, use your time and influence to do what? Get into the word of God. He says this, but his delight means he's super into this. He geeks out over this, what? The word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Meditation, by the way, does not mean emptying your mind. This is what the world will tell you. Oh, you just have to empty your mind of everything. First of all, that's not wise because that just allows the enemy to fill it with all kinds of crap. Instead, meditation means fill your mind with God's truth. Focus on the word of God. Does that make sense? So I want to encourage you to get into the word because whatever your heart delights in will direct your life. Whatever your heart delights in, it will direct your life. It really will. And so meditate on the word of God. This morning, I didn't have a lot of time this morning. I'm getting ready for church. And then I get here and I'm going over my notes and I've got service after service after service after service. I got four in a row. So I'm pretty busy on Sunday mornings. So I didn't have a lot of time to get into God's word, but I knew the importance of it. So I do this sometimes. Sometimes I'm busy. I got stuff going on. I didn't watch the clock close enough. I'm like, I didn't have enough time to get in there. So I'll grab my one-year Bible and I just say this out loud. Just one word, God. Just one word. And I open it. It's amazing how the first sentence of the next day's reading always has something for me. And it happened again today. You know why? Because sometimes you're busy with your spouse, you know, the one you love, but you're just, you got kids that are little. You know, I remember when our kids were little, oh my gosh, my wife used to call it the witching hours. It's like we're, you know, like between 3 and 7, getting them ready for bed and getting homework done and getting them fed and all this kind of craziness and getting the rooms cleaned and all that. It's crazy, right? And so it's busy. And so in those times when you're super busy, sometimes you just look at each other and you just go, love you, and that's all you got. But that word kept you going, didn't it? So when I say, God, just give me a word, just one word. Just remind me that you have something for me. And today he did that. Thank you, God. That's all I need right now. I want to challenge you, if you'll give God even a moment in his word, it's more powerful than chapters of good books because it's not a book, it's God's book. It's his word. It's actually his word to you. He has something specifically for you. So, having said that, real quick, I just want to go over this. Let me tell you why God's word is so important to you. I just did a cursory study, just real quick. I could have done a three-day seminar on what God's word will do for you, but right now, I just want to give you a little bit of introduction of just a few scripture and the power of them. So people of the word become disciplined. 2 Timothy 1:7, for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Also, the word of God will make you diligent. It says in Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent certainly lead to profit, but anyone who is reckless certainly becomes poor. The word of God, people who are into the word of God will become generous. It says in Proverbs 11, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Now, let me just stop there. I just gave you three. Just the first three. If you were to just follow the word of God, some people would say, well, you need to read the Bible and you need to follow the word of God because it's right. I agree with you. It's the right thing to do. There's no question about it. Can I give you another reason? Can I give you a selfish reason? It's not just right. It's smart. It's not just about, well, it's the right thing to do. You know what? Well, yeah, it's the right thing to do. It's also just really smart. Why? Because God's like, even if you take my word and you study it completely selfishly, just for yourself to get gain, God's like, if you just read the three scriptures I just gave you and do what they say to do, you will become successful. Period. Doesn't even matter what you, well, what if I want to do this? I didn't even ask what the subject matter was. You'll succeed at it. If you just follow the word of God. Does that make sense? That's how powerful the word of God is. You become diligent. You become a generous person when you get your eyes off yourself and on helping other people. If you begin to do those things, do you understand that there's not a company in the world that will not want to hire you? Because so many people don't do that. If you just become diligent and disciplined and generous, that's incredible. Now let's throw in wisdom. If you are a person of the book, you'll become wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I love the fact that it says with all without finding fault. That means God says, you can ask me dumb questions. I'm okay with it. You can ask a dumb question, and I'll answer it in the word. Well, what's a dumb question? Let me give you one. God, is it okay if I smoke weed? Oh, thanks for asking. Not a dumb question. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that you should not let anything master you. Ah, that is something that has mastered a lot of people. So I should stay away from that. Is it wrong? Well, I live in a state where it's legal. Great. Adultery is also legal. Probably not a good idea. And so what's God saying? God's like, you can ask any question. I'll show you a Bible verse that has a principle that talks about that. Does that make sense? That's how good the word of God is. It will lead you and guide you and keep you out of a lot of trouble. It really will. Here's another one I needed when I was young. I still need it today, but I really need it when I was young. Psalms 119 says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I had to memorize that when I was in high school because I was basically a horn dog walking around. And so my wife, if she was here, she'd be like, has that changed? Maybe not. Anyways, but it's really true that this scripture, especially when you're young, man, you're like, God, I do not know how to do this. Like, I'm going crazy because everywhere I look, there's someone good looking. And oh my goodness, Lord, how do I? And God's like, I can tell you how. How do you stay pure? By living according to the word. Can I let you in on singles? Can I just talk to singles for a moment? It's not enough for them to be a Christian. They need to be a Christian who is so serious about their faith, they're willing to follow the morals of God. This is not easy. It's very difficult. But this is, in my opinion, the deciding factor over whether someone's really godly or not. Because the only reason that makes sense to not jump in the sack or mess around with someone if you're single is God's word. Otherwise, you're like, what's not to like here? Why would I not want to, you know? And God's like, well, because I have something better for you. So God has a plan for you. And so the reason I bring this up is because I see this a lot. Singles show up at church, here or other churches, or a Bible study or whatever, some Christian event. And they're like, oh, I met this person at church, so it's like game on. No. They may be here for 5 seconds. You don't know how serious they are about their faith yet. So you can actually start dating someone at church and get all messed up. Because just because you met them at church, which means you're going in the right direction, doesn't mean they're ready to be dating. I mean, you can also meet someone the first meeting at a 12-step. I don't recommend this. Does that make sense? And so on point, I mean, yeah, you're going the right direction, but we probably need to know each other a little more and be stable and understand our faith and be walking with God. Does that make sense? And the way I know that many singles keep falling for this because you date some guy or girl and then y'all break up and then 5 seconds later, they're back in the club, which means they were really not super into God. They were super into saying whatever they needed to say to get you. You see the problem here? And the only way to know if it's legit or not is time. So slow your roll and just watch and just see if they're serious about their faith or not before you just go, oh, he's cute and he wears a crucifix. He's a Christian. No, please give it some time. Let's just see if they're serious about the faith. Does that make sense, guys? And so, guys, I'm spitting more truth than you're amen in right now. I'm trying to help someone. Become a person of this book and it will protect you. It will guide you. It will bless you. This book can change everything for you. Just one more. If you become a person of the book, it will make you joyful. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. God says, you want to know my will? Be thankful today. Right? No, that's not what I want to know, God. I want to know like what job I should take, who I should marry, what direction I should go. And God's like, yeah, I got all that for you, but just start being grateful. Yeah, okay, I want to. And God's like, you don't understand. There's a path. The first path is obedience. And then that's just the first couple steps. And after that, then I'll show you all the other things you want to know. But we keep forgetting that. And so we have people walking around in the will of God depressed. Why? Because you want to know God's word for information for your life, but not to know God. Like the best part about the book I'm talking about is its author. That's why you read it, is to know the author. Does that make sense? So God has a great word for you, but listen, this book, guys, I can't tell you this stuff. It's changed everything for me. It's changed everything. This book helped me move to a town where I didn't know a single person, start a group, a Bible study with five people in my living room, and 27 years later, there's a church of 10,000 people. That's God's word in action. But listen, God's word will make you, it will steady you. It will strengthen you. It will give you joy. It will give you direction. It will calm you. It will warn you when you need that. It will convict you, but it will lead you. And so I can't stress this enough. In fact, if you ever watch me come up here and I'm not preaching from God's word, please get up and leave. Because I am not that smart. It's God's word that has built this place. It's God's word that will continue to bless this place. Does that make sense? It's a game changer. And the more you dig into the Bible, the more it will change your life. I'm just telling you right now, when I see a worn-out Bible, there's not a worn-out person. There's a blessed person. So get into it, dig into it, memorize it, meditate on it, learn it, and it will change everything about you. It really, really is that good. You ever heard of secondhand smoke? It's a real thing. And actually, if you smoke a lot, your kids, it's like they smoked their whole life, but they didn't. They were just in the house with you. And so in the same way, I want to encourage you, those of you who are like, that sounds great about God's word, I believe all that, but I need my kid to be changed. You don't understand, they're making bad decisions. And I want to tell you, you want your kid to be changed, you start obeying the word of God and they're going to get secondhand blessing. It'll bless them. They'll see how you live. I am living under secondhand blessing from my parents honoring God and obeying God their whole life, whole adult life. And because of that, I am blessed because of them. So I just want to encourage you, it's that powerful. You will have secondhand spirit, secondhand blessing. Because of your obedience to God, your kids will eventually say, I want to follow like mom and my mom and my dad. I want to love God like my dad loves God. I want to love my wife like my dad loves his wife. Does that make sense? See, when my father made a decision to honor God, it made him a better husband, a better man, a godly man, a better worker. I mean, he climbed the ranks in his company. They would do layoff after layoff. He was never laid off. Why? They're like, we can't get rid of him. He knows the product better than anybody. And so because of that, you know, he was always protected. Listen, God's hand was on him. And because of that, God's hand's on me. I have secondhand blessings. Does that make sense? Give your kids that gift by being a person of the book. And so, and the great thing about this book is this book, you know, you read other books. This book reads you. It does. It challenges you. It stops you cold in all that you do. Now, can I say something about the book real quick? Can I get into some details for a moment? So people always ask me about different translations. They're like, well, which one should I buy? So there's a lot of good translations. I personally like the New American Standard, the NIV, which is New International Version, and the NLT, New Living Translation. Let me tell you why I like those. Number one, New American Standard is exactly what it says. They tried to use all the colloquialisms that we know in America, okay? NIV is a little more international, and we live in a culture that's very international today, so I like that one a lot too. But I also like the New Living because New Living is actually not a word-for-word translation like the New American or the NIV. New Living is a phrase-for-phrase or idea-per-idea. For example, the NAS or NIV would say, I did two things at once. The New Living would say, I killed two birds with one stone. Does that help anybody? Yeah. Both are legit. Just depends on how you like to read it. Either one is good. There's some other translations that I like that I would not memorize. For example, I love the Message. It's one man's ideas of the Word of God. It's great. And I think it's excellent. You know, it's brilliant stuff. But I don't quite trust it to the same level as a word-for-word or phrase-for-phrase translation. Does that help anybody today? Okay. Good stuff. The Passion Translation. Great. Good ideas in there. But again, I may read it to get a different take on the Word of God, but I'm not going to call that. It is the Word of God, but it's a little looser. Does that make sense? It's the artistic flair of someone's take on the Word of God, which again, I think most of it's pretty accurate, but I want to use the word pretty accurate. Does that help someone? And then let me also just say this. Some of you, and this may be a little sensitive, but I want to help you because maybe this is a fight you're getting in at home. I want to help you with this. Why does my Bible have less books than your Bible? Can I explain that? This book that I carry does not have what's called the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha means really helpful, not canon. Canon is the recognized books of the Bible. Let me explain. You're like, well, why aren't they recognized? I'll explain right now. Jesus never quoted them. Did you catch that? He never quoted those books that are in the Catholic Bible, but not in the Protestant Bible. Protestant, I don't really like that word, but they use that word because it was when Martin Luther did he protested and said, I don't believe these books are the Word of God. Because he protested more than that, but that was one of his protestations. And the reason why was because none of the church fathers in the first century quoted them. The Bible was pretty much already recognized. All the books that were considered holy, meaning they were from God, and they're canonical means recognized books of God. Two things that made them recognized. One, Jesus always quoted the Deuteronomical books, basically the first five books, okay? He quoted them again and again, and so that we know they're legit because he quoted them. Also, all of those minor prophets that he maybe didn't quote, they all referred to Jesus. So everything is Christ-centric in the Bible. Does that make sense? And these other books also missed out on some of the miracles that tied everything together. Does that help anybody today? So I want you to hear me loud and clear. I didn't say any of those extra books are evil or bad. They're just not the same as the rest of the Bible. Does that make sense? So that's why we believe this is the finished work of God. And so I hope that helps someone today. Again, I don't want to get in an argument with you in the atrium. I just want you to understand the difference. Okay? So does it help anybody today? I hope that's a little helpful. All right, we'll keep going. So the last thing I want to tell you is this. The first thing is to stay away from the wrong people because they lead you in the wrong path, right? And anyone with any wisdom, whether you're a Christian or not, would be like, yeah, that just makes sense, right? Someone's going the wrong path, you don't probably want to hang out with them, right? Okay, the second thing is to meditate in the Word of God. That's where you get rooted. Now, anyone who knows anything about botany, any kind of planting, if you have a garden, you would not pull up a plant and expect that plant to give you fruit. Because with no root, there is no fruit. So if you, first off, keep the things out of the garden that hurt it, right? Don't hang out with scoffers or sinners, right? Keep them out. Then if you get rooted in the Word of God, verse 2, then you get fruit of verse 3. Okay, so what's verse 3? Check it out. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Now, that's important. We all have seasons where we are more blessed than others, but it says, and its leaf does not wither, which means what? This is not an annual. An annual plant will give you fruit and then die. A perennial plant gives you fruit every cycle of season. And so even in the winter, it's there, and it looks like it's dying, but it's not dying. It's still plugged into the root. And when springtime comes, it will blossom again. Does that make sense? That also tells me something. If you're here and you're having a tough time, I got great news for you. You're one season away. You are one season away from God blessing you. You're one season away. Stay faithful. And whatever he does will prosper. Number 3 is this. The law of proximity takes over. Who and what you are close to creates your future. Let me say that again. The law of proximity takes over. Who or whatever you're close to will take over your life. It will. If you're close to pornography, it'll take over your life. If you're close to the Word of God, it'll take over your life. If you're close to people going the right direction, doing the right things, you'll do the right things and go in the right direction. If you're close to people doing the wrong things, going the wrong direction, you'll end up doing the wrong things, going the wrong direction. It's just simple as that. You know, I mean, when I wanted to learn, I hung out with pastors that have what I call 10X ministries. Their churches were 10 times the size and influence of ours. And guess what? Lo and behold, after a few years, our church 10X'd as well. Does that make sense? I hung out with couples that had 10X the marriage that I wanted. And guess what? My marriage 10X'd. And so I just want to encourage you, whatever it is you want, if you're like, man, I know people that they're just loaded financially, I don't know what they did, hang out with them, you'll learn what they did, and when you learn those things, you begin to apply those things, and guess what? you'll get the same kind of results in your finances as well. You tell me what you want. The law of proximity produces. Proximity produces. Proximity to someone messed up produces what? Messed up life. Proximity to someone that's got it going on produces a life that's got it going on. You tell me what you want, get close to it. Did you catch that? Just whatever it is you want. I'm not here to decide that. You can decide that. If you'll get close to it, you'll learn that. You say, man, I'm the worst salesman in my entire company. But you took the best salesperson in your entire company to lunch, and you learn from them, you'll become just like them. Amen. Proximity produces. You forget everything else I said. Psalms 1:1-3 tells us this. Proximity produces. There was a nun in the late 60s. She was also a Catholic high school teacher. And she was teaching one day, and the kids were just all over the place. They would not pay attention. They were just so loud. And she realized, we're a week out from school being done. I already lost them. They're not clued in. You know, they're just like most kids. They just want to get out for the summer, have a good time. So she finally said, okay, everyone sit down, and everyone be quiet. And everyone is quiet for just a moment, right? She said, everyone get a sheet of paper out. They all pulled out a sheet of paper. She said, I want you to write down the name of every student in this class. And start at the top, you know, the first row, and go all the way down. And she just called out their names, and they began to write down each name. She goes, now what I want you to do is I want you to write one positive thing you think of each person in your classroom. So everyone started doing, you know, kids are snickering. They're like looking, oh. They're writing different things down. At the end of that hour, she's okay, pass your papers forward. You guys have a good week and see you Monday, right? They all go home. She goes home, but she takes these papers with her. Now, this is before personal computers. So she does this by hand. She got out a lot of paper. She wrote down the name of each student at the top of one sheet of paper, and she got every one of the comments that every student made about that student, and she wrote their comment word for word down on each of the student's sheet of paper. It took all weekend. Monday, they come around, they come back to class. She passed them out. She said, everyone take the one with your name at the top, and I want you to know what your friends think of you. The classroom went dead silent, and then you heard gasps. And then people began to cry. There was weeping in the classroom. They had no idea how they were loved, how people looked up to them, how what people saw good in them. They couldn't believe it. Honestly, she'd forgot about the assignment until 5 years later, when one of the boys in her classroom, this is now the early 70s, died in the Vietnam War. She was invited to the funeral. She went. She remembers the kid well. She saw a bunch of his old friends, you know, that were there as well, that she also taught. She saw the parents, just a bunch of people. And after the funeral, the father came up and said, hey, would you please come by the house? We're going to have refreshments, but I really want you to come by. I want to show you something. She's like, of course. She goes to the house. They're all having a good time, just kind of catching up. And then the father comes over and says, I want to show you this. And he pulls out a beat up Army Standard Edition Bible that was given to every soldier when they went into war. He said, I want to show you this. This was on my son when he died. And he opened up the Bible, and in it, tucked in it, was a crumpled up piece of paper that he had been given by her with all those positive comments written on it from his friends. But what was even more shocking was the boy that walked up next and said, hold on, pulled out his wallet. He said, I carry mine too. And the girl who was there who pulled open her purse and said, I don't go anywhere without that note. You see, guys, all of us need encouragement. Every one of us are longing for someone to value us. That's what the Word of God does for you. You realize that the God of the universe is in love with you. He is crazy about you. He thinks you are amazing. He thinks you're so incredible, he sent his son to die for you. That's how he feels about you. Would you bow your heads with me, every head bowed and every eye closed? We all need that kind of an influence on our lives. With your head bowed, do you realize that God sent his son Jesus to die for you? Jesus not only died for you, but he rose again. Now he waits for you to receive him. Right now, you can ask Christ to come into your life. This is what it means to become a Christ follower, to become a Christian. You can pray this prayer with me across all of our campuses, those watching online. You can just say this out loud. Just say, dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you just gave your life to Christ, no one's looking around, would you just hold your hand high if you just gave your life to Christ? Thank you. There are hands going up all across our broadcast campus right there at Rodfield, at Stone Oak. Hold those hands high. Praise God. Thank you, Padre Island. Thank you, Portland. Thank you, Rockport. Hold those hands high. Those watching online, you can let us know in the text chat. Just text "my hands raised" or click "hand raised" right now in our prison ministry. Hold your hand high. Praise God. You just gave your life to Christ. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this place. I thank you, God, that your word is that good. It's that powerful, Lord. Thank you, God, for what you say about us. Lord, it's crazy that we get to believe in you. It's even crazier that you believe in us. Thank you, Lord, for the way your word encourages us today. Thank you, God, for the power and the influence of the right people in your word. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true. Pastor?
Thank you ever so much. Well, church, I'm going to please give it up for our senior pastor.